The Ocelli Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck Ocelli.
March 30, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this is indeed the show you were looking for. How do I know this? Because you're hearing me say this. Anyway, not quite yet. But that's going to be an interesting day on the show. Wednesday, Woden's Day, the middle of the week. Here we are. I just finished producing the Don Jeffries show. So, you know, little bit of a hang up after that show. Took me a minute, but we are live. So in the first hour, I have Tony Arterburn, and he's an interesting fellow. We're going to talk to him a little bit about a few of the things he's involved in directly, and get a little bit of a sense about his media experience. Maybe I think I'm going to want to talk to him about silver and gold for some reason. He's going to tell you why in just a second. But in the second hour, we're going to have an open discussion, something that I think nobody is focusing on regarding one of the public debates currently raging out there in the Twitter sphere, online, seemingly everywhere. But I'm going to do that with our friend Nature Boy in the second hour, who is the producer of the Wednesday night Ocelli Effect. Now, we do it four other days a week, and it has been an interesting week, starting with the Jordan Maxwell show, the tribute to him on Monday, and then, of course, Christy Aphrodite on Tuesday, and now this. So, Tony Arterburn, first off, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I really appreciate you having me on, Chuck.
Right. So let's see. There's a lot of things I could say about you. I could give a whole bio and introduction, but it's pretty long. So let's cut it down, because I want to talk to you about a couple things. We'll start with the first thing that I would take notice of, and that would be that you have something to do with a little thing called Wise Wolf. And that is a sponsor on Donald Jeffries' show. Look, I'm one of these guys, very, very, very skeptical. And yeah, I use three varies. I don't care. It's not, you know, we're not using grammar here tonight. I'm very, very skeptical. Very, very, very. In fact, skeptical of the whole Bitcoin thing, cryptocurrencies, et cetera. But I've never been skeptical of gold and silver. Well, honestly, I'm more of a silver guy because it's usually more affordable to people like myself. But gold and silver, it's an important thing. So, you know, tell us about Wise Wolf, first of all, and then give us a couple of your other biographical credits, if you don't mind, so that the listeners know exactly who they're listening to.
Well, sure. Yeah. Wise Wolf Gold and Silver is a proud sponsor of the Donald Jeffries Show right here on the Ocelli Network. And we are a full-service gold and silver exchange. You know, I'm like you. I like silver, too, because I can afford it. It's interesting because I've put everything into my business, Chuck. All my inventory basically belongs to the customer because I have to replace it anytime I sell it. Mm-hmm. So right now, that I'm saving mostly silver, but I love gold. I love it because it's actually money. You know, the old bankster J.P. Morgan, he got something right. He said, gold is money and everything else is credit. But had he lived long enough, he would have seen that everything else is debt. It's not just credit anymore. So we live in a fiat world. You know, when you have fiat currency, starting the central bank in the United States in 1913, everything after that creates fake leaders, fake news, fake wars, a fake reality based on fake money. And so Wise Wolf was a natural progression of my study and my life, and having gotten out of the army at 24 and served in three foreign wars. I, as a young man, as a former paratrooper, I was a bit jaded and studied history all that I could when I was deployed, and you know, went into business at 25. But I don't know, just around, I think, 37, I said, this is around 2017, I decided to go into the precious metals business officially. And Wise Wolf was born, and wow, what an amazing ride it's been, because I've used it to sponsor my shows. I've been in radio since 2013. I started in Dallas on 570 KLIF once a week when I ran for Congress, and that was an interesting experience. But 2018, I relaunched my radio show. It's called the Arterburn Radio Transmission, or ART, A-R-T. And I was thinking of the other day, just what a weird ride it's been. The theme of the show is Welcome to Tomorrow. And I came up with that thinking, you know, we're going to soon be in the Tomorrowland that we learned about, you know, that in, you know, science fiction and these post-apocalyptic movies when I was a kid. And now we're right there. And so anyway, I have an amazing privilege to broadcast with people like Donald Jeffries and Billy Ray Valentine. We have a show called America Unplugged over on Rockfin. And I have another podcast called The Wise Wolf Golden Crypto Show with my friend Kenzie, who's a Gen Zer. And I don't know. I get to do great programs like yours. I'm a big fan of this show, by the way. Love your program, Chuck.
Oh, well, I wasn't aware that you'd ever heard of me there. Absolutely. Appreciate it. I've checked out some of those shows. I didn't see them on Rockfin. I saw them on Facebook, which you can hear the tone of my voice when I say Facebook, can't you? So I don't like going there. I really don't appreciate the artificial nonsense that is and the artificial nonsense that it's evolving into. I do appreciate the idea that somebody said, you know, look, I've been already deployed. I've done this, that, and now I want to hold something tangible in my hand. And you went into business to facilitate that for other people. That's a curious thing. I'm curious about that, actually. Like, how old are you exactly? Because I'm a Generation Xer. You said you had a Z person on one of your programs.
I'm a Gen Xer, too. I'm 42 years old, and I got out of the military in 2004, so I was 24 years old. And one of the first things I did right before I got out, I read Pat Buchanan's The Death of the West, which really, I don't know, it opened up a completely different paradigm for me as a young man. I became more what you call a paleo conservative and started looking at the world that way. I'd wondered why no one talked about these great issues of what makes a nation. You know, a nation's not an idea. A nation is people and history and heroes and all those things. And Pat Buchanan really spelled that out and where we were headed as a civilization. So I started thinking about these big picture issues and the civilizational questions. And that kind of turned me on to the what you would call the old right and like the Ron Paul movement as well. And I think if you study long enough, Chuck, you know, you just kind of naturally run into the conspiracy theory of history. And I got to conspiracy theory of history by study, not by like, you know, I'm interested in that. It's just when you put the pieces together after, you know, reading biographies or, you know, looking at the lives of our founding fathers and looking at the people who built civilization, you start wondering like, wow, these missing pieces, that is the conspiracy. And that's what we talk about, you know, in alternative media. So, you know, when you look at that too, and that's the issue of the day, when you look at that, you're going to find that fiat currency is at the root of it all. I say fiat is fake. It's the head of the snake. So when you go back and look at the central banking system, you look at the decoupling of our currency from gold. You know, when our dollar stopped being money and it became currency, that's when a lot of our problems started. So I don't know, just for me, it's been a natural progression to, you know, from studying history, looking at the big picture, and then finding that this was the perfect business for me to be in, not only alternative media, but in the precious metals business, because I can help people turn in what I call their Luciferian bankster notes, their LBNs, for some actual real savings.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, look, that's the third central bank we're dealing with today that has been around since 1913. A lot of people don't know that. But, you know, this concept, it's one of the weirdest things. I remember watching the movie Zeitgeist, actually, when it first came out and people were handing it out everywhere. And I was really amazed to see somebody put a high-quality sort of presentation together that said what I had been saying for many years, which was that, you know, it's really amazing to me that this paper money, this monetary system that we have here, is based on really ignorance and faith. That's it. There's no value to it. It is literally not worth the paper it's printed on. The paper is actually fairly expensive if you have to buy it, right? I mean, it was just frightening to me. Like, this is what I just figured out on my own. And I saw somebody put out that presentation, and they're short on the central banking system and fractional reserve banking and everything is still one of the best things I've ever seen regarding this. And I'm not saying other people haven't done good work. It's just that nobody ever challenges this. It's a faith-based religion that nobody calls a religion. It just is. And it's really amazing to me. Now, of course, when you go back in the history a little bit, you realize that just, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, but same generation. You know, when I was born, Nixon was still president. He's the guy who removed the last vestiges of any connection to the gold standard at all, although it had already been so watered down it was almost non-existent at that time anyway. He did that in 71. Just before I was born. So I never lived in a world where this was the presumed way to value things. And I always found it odd, you know, these different currencies. It's like, well, this is worth this. Like, how are these exchange rates dreamed up? And I went into all that stuff and found myself, you know, again, I'm not an economist. I was a street level kind of person. And on the street, it just is. You know, it is still the life's blood. You know, the life's blood of the black market is still this fictional currency. And nowadays, most of it doesn't even exist in physical form at all. Okay, you know, people were talking, a couple of years ago about how there's no coins. What's going on? I'm going, there weren't any coins really to begin with anyway. Okay, there weren't as much paper as they said is out there moving around. It's not. It's mostly just digital entries on somebody's computer being moved over to somebody else's computer anyway. You know, I mean, this is a hard thing for some people to wrap their minds around when they say, well, I'm earning money. And as you brought up, you're actually earning debt. And like I said, that presentation in the Zeitgeist movie was perfect to show you how that works in my mind. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you're absolutely right. And you go back to August 15th, 1971, Nixon takes us off the gold standard. Gold was pegged at $35 an ounce, and it had been since 1944 at Bretton Woods in New Hampshire when, you know, the new – what Biden called the other day the liberal new world order got together and was deciding the financial fate of mankind after the Second World War. Well, you're right. I mean, by 1971, other countries knew that – you know, we had taken the silver out of our coinage. You know, we had been inflating our money supply and just basically to pay for the guns and butter program, the Great Society, all the things to the 1960s. So Nixon didn't really have a choice. I mean, he had to close the gold window. And if you read this statement, he actually broke in during an episode of Bonanza, of all things, which is a show about people going out west to find gold, which I always found ironic. But and that's beside the point. You know, he said it was temporary. He said that the closure was temporary. So 50 years later, 51 years later, it's temporary, Chuck. So, no, you know, if we talk about the corruption in politics, you talk about the deep state, you talk about the New World Order, none of those things can really be taken on until you go at the heart of the matter, which is fiat currency. And this is my opinion. And you're right, the Federal Reserve was a great conspiracy. I mean, they're wonderful. Even the language that they use, calling it a Federal Reserve and not a central bank, you know, that was all planned. Of course, they met at Jekyll Island on November 22nd, 1910 to plan out that conspiracy. It was the third central bank. And of course, the second central bank, the president, Andrew Jackson, said that he wanted that on his tombstone, that he killed the bank. You know, he talked about how the bankers were a den of vipers and thieves, and said he was going to rout them out. He was very proud of his accomplishment. And you know, J.P. Morgan was born in 1836, the year that Andrew Jackson killed the Second Bank of the United States, and he died in 1913. His life spanned over the time when there was no central bank. Despite the fact that we had a civil war, the United States flourished, and, you know, the Industrial Revolution, you know, at least the end of the 19th century, you were free on this earth. You had no Social Security number. There was no income tax. And if you worked, you had a day's wage and you put aside whatever money you made, you had real savings, because years from then you still have value. You can't save today, Chuck. You can't do that. You can't, you know, Robert Kiyosaki says that savers are losers. And he's not doing that to insult people. He's trying to wake them up. You can't save your fiat currency. You can't save the dollar, because ultimately you will lose, because some psychopath is going to do quantitative easing or bail out his criminal friends on Wall Street or pay for the next unconstitutional, unnecessary war. So this is the great thing about being in the business that I'm in, is to talk about these issues and tell people, hey, look, you know, I'm not telling you you're going to be a millionaire. I'm not telling you this is a great investment. I don't give investment advice. I give protection advice. So
that's the curious thing about it is, again, if you had a piece of silver even, right, some years ago, yeah, that piece of silver has gone up in value, but it sort of protected you. You stash dollars in a box and bury them in your yard, okay, if they survive the process. You've got way less than what you had to begin with. I mean, that's just the reality of it. However, if they're made of silver, you might do a little better. And that's the interesting thing here, where, you know, I think all the time about the amount of money that it took to do things when I first got into adulthood. So for me, 1990 is a good year to mark things by, right? What I was able to earn at that time, okay, if I were earning that same money today, okay, even attempting to adjust it for inflation, because people go, well, it's inflation, and, you know, which is also another wickedly interesting thing that they do, constantly squeezing the value of the wage, constantly squeezing. I mean, I've also pointed to the fact that when I was born, effectively, in order to make the same kind of money and have the same kind of buying power, I mean, you need at least $25 an hour at a minimum wage job. Now, some people say that sounds crazy, but literally that was the circumstance. And then immediately during that time when I was born and I was a child and first learning about money, that's when a serious recession hit, and things changed drastically, and they were always supposed to bounce back. Now, what's become interesting in the past few years, I think things have changed a bit, where we had a more of a boom and bust sort of situation, where you were allowed to thrive for a little while, but it was really about credit. And the credit, again, my life experience, right? I'm not an economist, and I'm not giving financial advice either. But the credit that seemed to come around allowed people to live pretty well for a little while. And then periodically, like about every 10 years, the squeeze comes back. And when they let go again, you never regain the buying power or the level of existence that you had before. This is the thing that I'm always complaining about, because people just accept it. And they've accepted it so quietly that now we've gotten to a point where the numbers are ludicrous. The idea about fractional reserve banking that was presented again in that very same thing, which I thought was a great presentation, is now completely out the window too. Forget about the holding on to 10%. And creating out of thin air money, there's actually no number on it now. It's just exponential. So yeah, it doesn't matter. But if you and I try this, you see, and say, well, listen, I've got $100, so therefore $90 of it is actually something that I've got to get back out, and I'm going to put on my book now $190. You try that with your bank. You try that with your anything, okay? And what are they going to do? Well, they're going to put you in jail if you're successful, and if not, they're just going to laugh at you and clear out your money, and you're going to have nothing. So, I mean, this is the circumstance we're in. And gold and silver, again, is just this interesting baseline, and some people say, okay, you're a gold bug, and you believe in that. But again, how are you going to argue with something that, I mean, I don't know what today's gold price is. I haven't looked at the spot, let's say, for knowing about physical gold today. But looking at even the silver price back then or anything, if you take a look at the way that grew, it actually rises and does protect you. And it's like almost a hard concept to throw at somebody and get them to understand that there is a way to not lose value. I mean, I know the old adage of, you know, buy land because God's not going to make any more of it. That too. Land has value at all times, but do you actually get to own it? That's another question, you know, because ownership is interesting here. And that's why I always found it funny when people talked about gold contracts and all these different things. And it's like, unless you're actually physically getting it, your hands on it, to me, it makes very little sense. Am I crazy?
No, you have to have physical. I mean, I know there's people that do well trading the paper stocks. I don't trust that at all when you're talking about GLD or SLV. A lot of the research has been done showing that, they're fractional reserves themselves for the bullion houses. And the central banks have a vested interest in keeping the price of precious metals low. You know, and you probably know this, the all-time high of silver was in 1980. You know, the Hunt brothers drove it up to $50 an ounce in 1980. Now, $50 in 1980, Chuck, is what, like $200 today? And I think I'm looking at wisewolf.gold. You can go to my website to check the spot prices. Let's check silver and see what it did today. It was $24.84 on the close. And that is because silver is vastly undervalued, in my opinion. And it has to do with the contracts that are sold off. Last year, the Wall Street Bets people and the Reddit Raiders, and they tried to get the price of physical silver to rise, and people were just calling every silver dealer and they could find and getting all the silver, and they bought it all up. And then the next day, the price went down. And the reason it did is because the giant banks sold off 1.5 times the annual supply of contracts in one day to keep it down. They want it down. They want that number down. And, you know, the gold closed at 1,933 today. And it's been doing well. And, of course, the Russians are moving to link the ruble to gold for the conversion. So they for their petroleum sales, for the sale of crude on the open market. And that's going to be highly interesting to watch. You'll start seeing that across your newsfeed more and more because we're reaching an end game, in my opinion, of fiat currency. And the New World Order is built on it. It's built on fake. It's all fake. And, once that goes down, you start seeing the domino effect, in my opinion, that could open up a lot of opportunities for us to discuss this and to go have our own sovereignty or to have our own private currencies. Like, I am a fan of Bitcoin. I can talk a little bit to that. It's not my favorite asset, but I do like Bitcoin. I do like some cryptocurrencies. But I'm just all about decentralization. We don't need the government for currency. We just don't. We have a gold and silver standard. We have, cryptocurrencies now. We have electronic currency, so we don't need them. They're irrelevant, and now that they're completely off the rails. When you mentioned the money supply, I mean, 40% of all the dollars ever made were made in Trump's last year of his presidency, from 1776 to now. So 40% were made in the 2020, and they want to talk about taxation. why do we have an income tax if you're just going to print? There is no fiscal responsibility, and fiscal conservatism seems to be dead.
Yeah, well, that was a curious thing about when you were talking about being what you called a paleo conservative. I understand that logic. I'm not going to say that I agree with all of it, because I'm one of these mixed bag guys who doesn't really belong in anybody's party, right? And I've always kind of been that way, but there was a time when I admired that side of the equation because it made sense. Today, I don't know what to make of this. All right. I mean, really, things are so flipped on their heads. Libertarians aren't even libertarians. And that's the only party I've ever registered with, by the way, to vote. currently, I'm not even registered. I've registered as that and independent. So I'm not one of these guys who's like on one side or the other throughout my life, because I always see the problems with both sides. And why? Because they've never turned to solutions when it comes to things like this. I mean, okay. You mentioned Ron Paul, too. I mean, even an attempt to audit the Fed is a problem, right? An attempt to tie, and you want to go outside of America. I mean, when you mentioned them trying to tie their currency to gold in Russia, that's fascinating because, I remember this guy named Muammar Gaddafi. And, he kind of wanted to do that with his dinar, didn't he? Seemed like other people didn't want that done. So I'm just saying, you know, he was fine to sit there and make his declarations and say things. And Gaddafi actually said some interesting things about the Kennedy assassination and a few other things out there about some actions that had taken place in the Western world. That didn't get him killed. Supposedly being a terrorist didn't get him killed. In my opinion, it was his attempt to create a gold dinar and take away the power from the IMF to, you know, give loans to other African nations and stuff like that, which he was working on. I think that's what made it so that he had to go. But then again, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist, right? So I don't know. But that just seems to be the line too far. You can kill people. You can do all kinds of terrible things. And you can also make some financially, fiscally responsible actions happen because you happen to have benefited off of certain things. And you can try to share the wealth. But, you know, the moment you attempt to disrupt the international banking system, you have forfeited your ability to run your nation or to breathe, seems like to me. Maybe I'm wrong about that, though.
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. I mean, that's Hillary Clinton. We came, we saw, he died. Remember? She laughed. She thought that was just great. And, it all had to do with his proposal for that, you know, unified African gold-backed dinar. And we know that now. I didn't know that in 2012. We look at, you know, all the problems that we have on this planet stem back to that. And it's what my research always, I don't know, I'm just, you know, obsessed with it. It seems I go back to it, look at it over and over and over again. You know, we look at the things you're not supposed to criticize. But that is the holy of holies. I mean, you're not supposed to criticize the vaccines. The vaccines are something that the elite worship, the power structure worships vaccines. They worship war, the god of war. They love the military industrial complex, but their super deity, the one on high, is fiat currency. It seems it's the central bank. It's the banking houses, the control, the power that they wield. And if the average person knew about this, if you could just put it into, like you talked about Zeitgeist, which was a great breakdown. I thought I watched that some years ago.
Right.
And what's funny now is I have like little kids will come in here with their parents. Like, I have a, you know, gold and silver shop in Branson, Missouri. So it's a bricks and mortar. People can walk in. And it's not every day or every week, but I will maybe like once a month or every couple of months, I'll get a kid under 10 years old that's buying silver and wants to know how to buy it. And I'm fascinated with this. They're like, I heard that you should buy silver. I want to put my savings into silver. And they didn't hear it from me. And then I'll go in the back and I'll get an old gold coin and I'll get an old silver dollar and I'll explain to them what happened to the dollar in less than a couple of minutes. I'll say, you know, this is a Morgan silver dollar. This used to be a dollar, right? And then I'll say, well, this is a $5 gold Indian. You know, this is an Indian gold piece. It's $5. You know how much it's worth now? It's like $600. And they're like, wow, why is that? And I said, well, because they took the dollar and they separated it from this asset that's in here. And I go, they did that so there'd be no accountability, so they can make as many as they want. And I go, so what you have to do is you save the real money and stay away from these Luciferian banker notes, what I call LBNs.
Right. No, and I, you know, personally, I love silver dollars. I mean, the peace dollars are great, too. I know everybody likes the Morgans, but I like the peace dollars myself a little more, actually. I don't know why. They just appeal to me more. And I think they have about the same amount of silver in them, don't they?
They're the exact same. It's 0.735 meltable ounces of silver. And that's for every face dollar. 10 dimes, 4 quarters, 2 half dollars is the exact same amount of silver. Because
so you're talking about a raw value of, like, say, based on today's price, you're talking about a raw value of $20 meltable in there about.
Correct.
Right? Something like that. So, I mean, that's the thing, though, is when you got a 20-to-1 standard on those coins, that's why I don't even mind them. I don't even look for the pretty ones a lot of times. If I can get a deal, I try and pick up the dollars where I can. I also like the Eagles, though, I got to be honest with you. They just changed the design on the American Eagle. In 2021, right? But, you know, things have gotten even stranger. And it's funny that you also mentioned the Civil War, because we continue to flourish even during that. And it's fascinating because now financially, due to allegedly an invisible enemy, we've definitely seen a serious financial crisis emerge. And it doesn't seem to me, according to history, that that same crisis emerged, even though we were literally set to killing one another right here at home in a massive way. I mean, I don't even think people wrap their minds around the amount of people that died in the Civil War. You know, when we take a look at casualty lists, I mean, even the Vietnam War is one of those atrocities to me that still bears further examination. But even there, you've got 58,000 casualties. You know, that's nothing compared to what we did to ourselves. And still, the financial circumstance of the nation didn't collapse. I mean, it did in certain places. I know that, and I'm sitting in one of them. I'm in Georgia. But, you know, I understand what happened there, but we didn't experience this same nationwide financial problem that we are experiencing now. I don't know if that's due to the, you know, the petrol situation, or if it's due to the fact that there is no value in anything anyway. And this is just, you know, the house of cards finally collapsing, even though they told you could live in it. I'm not sure. But, you know, what are your thoughts on this, though, that this current financial situation, obviously you're going to suggest, and I would concur with you that it's a good idea if you can own gold and silver for certain. But outside of that, I mean, what are your thoughts about the way things are going right now as we speak?
Well, it's not good. You know, game, set, match in a lot of ways. And for but I think a lot of it's planned. I mean, we look at the proposal for the central bank digital currencies, the CBDCs, which are a satanic in every respect. I mean, you're talking about controlling every people's movements, controlling what they buy, what they can sell, how much money they can hold, you know, having it expire, all these things. It's a complete control grid. I think that the digital currency, the central bank digital currency, is going to be proposed as the answer to what's happening to the dollar right now, which is seems to have accelerated. You know, like you look at the debt, Chuck, look at the debt of the United States in 2000. It was $5 trillion. In 2010, it was $10 trillion. In 2020, it was like $25 trillion, and now we're heading up to $30 trillion. Now, it took us from our founding until the year 2000 to hit $5 trillion, but something has happened. Something's accelerated, and I think we've passed the point of no return. I mean, we used to hear conservatives, and I come out of the, you know, conservative, I guess, whatever position that is now, you know, that's what I grew up with. But, you know, we used to talk about fiscal responsibility. You don't hear that anymore. They don't even talk about it. It's just written off as a far gone conclusion. Well, we'll save, you know, $30 million on this, but we're going to spend $3 trillion on the budget, which is just insane numbers. You know, if you take, you can take 1,000 or 1,000, you can take 1 trillion $1 bills, and you can stretch them to the sun. You can go 93 million miles with $1 trillion $1 bills, and people just can't fathom that. And you talked about the Civil War. In the Civil War, they were able to recover in large part because the economic consequences were a lot different. I mean, Lincoln did have a greenback. You know, he did have fiat currency there in the late stages of the Civil War. But after that, I mean, it was just back to – you know, the gold and silver standard. It took 16 ounces of silver to make 1 ounce of gold. And if you notice, you know, look through our history, the end of the 19th century, had, you know, William Jennings Bryan talking about the cross of gold speech, because it was deflationary. We didn't have inflation. As a matter of fact, they wanted free silver to try to get, you know, the gifts of the farmers some relief from their debts, because the deflation, the dollar was so strong. So the central bank was really an answer to freeing up all the credit for the banksters, and they could, you know, use that as a, you know, their last chess piece, in my opinion, to kick off worldwide calamities like World War I and II. But I think since 1913, the devaluation of the dollar, we used to say it was 98% back before all this. It was like, we've devalued the dollar 98% since the Federal Reserve. And I'm like, I don't know what it is now. It's got to be beyond 98%. But I think that the end game is here. And my advice to people is not necessarily buy gold and silver, but just be aware of this. If you're aware this is going on, that the elite are picking winners and losers, and spoiler alert, they didn't pick you to win. They picked you as a loser. And they're going to be consolidating assets. I mean, think of it like as a game. The rich don't work for cash. They don't want cash. As a matter of fact, the richest people in the world work for debt. They will get assets and they'll borrow against those assets tax-free. And they will use that as their income, and then they'll buy more assets. Meanwhile, all of us, like the people that fight the war and pay the taxes, we're trying to save their, you know, the dollar. And that's the crime of it all. I think about all these people, the Greatest Generation, and then the Silent Generation after the Korean War folks, and even the baby boomers. They've saved, and you know, they've done the right things. They paid their taxes, and then, you know, everything's devalued that they've worked hard for. Even that, you know, that fixed income, it's buying less and less. And that's the real crime.
You see, what our grandparents tried to teach us made sense for them. You know what I mean? About hold on to your money and do this and that. But it's lunacy now. There is no, like, people talk about their retirements. I'm like, how do you even imagine that for a moment? You know, when you take a look at, you know, when are you planning on retiring? Tomorrow? Because, you know, these things are literally like insane. It's so rigged against you if you work within their parameters. That's it. I don't understand how any of it's going to be sustainable in a couple of years. Funny thing, though, is that coming out of that more conservative background, I know for many years the fringes of that always talked about the collapse of the dollar. I think back to a guy like Bill Cooper. You know a bit about Bill?
I do.
Okay, so Bill, listen, he did some things I disagree with and so on and so forth, and I got my words for him about the JFK assassination. But when it came down to his discussion about the dollar, and he was the first guy I ever heard of saying, you know, get yourself some physical gold and silver. And he had, I forget who it was, the Swiss company or whatever, when he was on shortwave radio, you know, and good stuff. I'm not dismissing it. I'm saying that he had a way of going through this and saying, look, you know, the dollar is unsustainable. And it was, you know, the 80s. Okay. And people were talking about the possibility of the dollar collapsing completely and becoming worthless back then. And I know people have discussed this for a long time, but that was on the fringes of the more conservative intellectuals that were talking about this, that were saying that unless we pull this back and stop spending and stop creating all this currency, we're going to be in trouble. And it turns out, A, they were right, but they might have had their timing off a bit, because some of them thought that we would collapse, you know, by the year 2000 and all that. And some people started to go along with the sort of, you know, I'll call it the Mayan thinking, right? 2012 is coming. So we're going to collapse. So after Y2K came and went and, you know, we were still breathing, they went to the 2012 paradigm, so to speak. But after that, I got to say, I don't think anybody knows exactly how fast or how slow this is going to go. I don't think anybody actually knows, you know, even all the financial media people, which I try to read, but after a while I get frustrated because it seems like none of them make any sense. And the ones that are most famous and most well-known, quite frankly, don't live in the same world I do, okay? Because they have no idea about the metrics that I'm contending with, trying to take care of a family, trying to keep myself afloat. They seem to have no concept of any of that. You know, it's just like, well, you just take a few thousand dollars and you do that. Whoa, hold on. I don't have 10 bucks sometimes, okay? What do you want me to do? I'm just keeping, you know, the roof over the head and the, you know, the stomach's full that I need to keep full. Okay. How am I supposed to contend with this? And, a lot of people have products in different ways. And, I get the concept of, you know, grow your own food because you're saving yourself money. And, And I try and do a little bit of all this stuff. But at the end of the day, the system that stands is so poisoned, is so corrupt. It's not like it couldn't have been done differently, though. It could have been done differently if it wasn't for a lot of greed. And, you know, you're talking about the guys that take the assets and borrow against them. That's exactly how Jeff Bezos got the same tax relief that, you know, people in about my bracket got, even though, you know, he controls Amazon, right? Okay, which is a huge company that benefited mightily during the, quote, pandemic, end quote, and continues to flourish. This guy turns around and gets, what was it, $450 for each of his kids? That was supposed to be restricted to people making under $150,000 or $180,000 a year. So how is Jeff Bezos not making the same thing that cops in the Northeast are making? You want to tell me that? I mean, I'm not asking you, Tony. I'm saying that there is something very, very wrong with the loaded and rigged system. And how is it that a lot of people don't notice? Well, they're trying to survive. I know that. So it's difficult to take notice of these greater things when you got your head down just trying to keep from drowning. But what is it that you would suggest, like, out of the gate, somebody says, look, I figured this out. I figured out there's a problem here. Again, I'm not asking you to give financial advice. But, I mean, what is the thing that they need to educate themselves about first if they've got, okay, I know the central bank's a problem. I know that the dollar's not worth a dollar. I know that the system's rigged. What do you suggest somebody does to try and, I don't know, survive beyond where this is all going?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say on the late, great William Cooper, I actually visited his Eager, Arizona home on the 20th anniversary of him being killed by the police. And I learned a lot from him, and I actually left him a Morgan silver dollar for tribute and to pay my respects. But, you know, what people can do is know that the dollar's not going to zero. Okay, it's not going to go to zero. This isn't going to be like the Weimar Republic in Germany. The dollar's not going to zero. It's going to digital. So you need to understand that. That's what their plan is. I mean, we know in this business, Chuck, you talk about problem, reaction, solution, or the Hegelian dialectic.
Right.
They cause the chaos because they know what the order is, and they're causing the chaos right now. It's just like the war in Ukraine, right? If our government wanted peace, they'd have peace tomorrow. They don't want peace. They like to project onto Russia or whoever the boogeyman is, the problems that they've created for us, the American people. I mean, we just did a controlled demolition of our small businesses, of our middle class. This, the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of mankind, has been going on the last few years from the middle class and middle class earners to the billionaire and trillionaire class and the multinationals. So what you can do is be aware. You can take steps to understand that that's what their end game is a CBDC. It's a central bank digital currency. And, you know, right now there's some great opportunities to own precious metals. Like, you can walk into your local gold and silver shop if you know, look at what spot price is. And spot means around the world, that's what the price of gold is. It's tethered to that agreed upon price. And right now I said it was 1,933. So you could probably buy a gold coin, something like a Krugerrand, for a little less than $100 over spot. Somewhere in there, that's going to be the, you know, the price of physical and the price of what it says online are two different things. So you could put that in your hand and walk out, and there's no paperwork, but you've got wealth in your hands. And the same thing can be said about, you know, land is also an asset. You know, firearms are an asset. Storable foods are an asset. And I think, you know, having a game plan for, you know, how to withstand economic catastrophes, because it seems like they've got that baked into the cake as well. But I'm optimistic, too. I was interviewing Stephen Flood, the CEO of a company called Goldcorp. He's like in 11 countries. I was interviewing him on my podcast, The Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show. And we were agreeing that we're optimistic. Like, this is a good time to even start your own business. Not over leveraged. You want to make sure you're not over leveraged. But if you were to, you know, get into a service industry right now and serve people, that'd be a good time to do something moving forward, because we're going to need a parallel economy and parallel vendors and people to work with for the things that we need, especially if we're of a certain mindset. You know, I would assume that, you know, I listen to your show and I listen to Don's show over here on Ocelli.com. So I know that your audience is not buying the government line and the mainstream Mockingbird media line. So we're going to be, you know, rebels against the system. So all those things are important. I'm not a doomsdayer, but I just know that the system as it exists now is, when they tell you they're going to do a great reset, pay attention, because they're going to do one.
No, this is all great. And, you know, before we wind up running out of time, because I know I'll wind up asking you some crazy convoluted question. Tell people where it is they can go online. And also, if you can, when you're done talking to me, if you drop a couple of links in the Skype, that'll help too. So that I can send people, because I'll put out the show notes. And I want them to go look you up. I want them to go check out your podcasts. I want them to go check out anything you're doing. You know, very, very solid, a lot more sensible sounding than me. So I appreciate that. You're a much more professional sounding broadcaster. I love your voice, by the way. Good sounding voice, and all that. So, I mean, and you're much more polished than I am. But it's really great. I want you to tell people where they can go. And then I'm going to also ask you something about the prices, because I got a message in Skype and he brings up a good point about, you know, why is it that gold and silver are above the spot and how much it is that people are making on it and all that. Maybe you can help me understand that, because I can't get a silver dollar for less than $40 anymore myself. So, you know, this guy's asking about gold, though. I'll ask you that question in a minute, but first tell them where they can go and check out your business and your podcasts and all that stuff, please.
You can find links to my radio show and my podcast. You can go to arterburn.news, and that's my website. And every show that I go on, every show that I've done in the last 3 or 4 months, I keep saying I'm updating my website, which we are eventually. But arterburn.news is where you can find me and contact me. And the name of my company is Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. And it's wisewolf.gold. If you want to check the prices on major cryptocurrencies or gold and silver, there's no obligation. You just go to my my page, wisewolf.gold, and you can find me there. And I appreciate the kind words on broadcasting, sir. It means a lot. I'm just humbled to be able to broadcast with people like you and people like the great Don Jeffries. I'll tell you a quick story before we talk about gold and silver prices and premiums, but –
sure.
But I bought a copy of the book Hidden History by Donald Jeffries, and this was back in 2018. And I'd heard a little bit about Bill Cooper before then, but I read all of Don's book and I loved it. I didn't know Don, never met him, never heard of him. And I remember the exact point where I was listening to Don's book, and he mentioned William Cooper, and I thought, I've got to finally look this guy up. I want to learn about what William Cooper was talking about. So fast forward to 2021 on November 5th, and I'm sitting in Bill Cooper's driveway, which was once his home in Eager, Arizona, and I'm on the radio live with Donald Jeffries talking about where I'm at, and it was Don's last show on Truth Frequency Radio. I remember driving off the hilltop and thinking, I've lived an interesting life. I'm humbled. I'm not full of myself, but I think I'm at the right place at the right time with the right people, and I'm just so very thankful. So I appreciate the kind words on that, and a great shout out to Don Jeffries and Billy Ray Valentine as well over there, my friends at America Unplugged.
Right. Interesting thing. You guys do that every Saturday live, don't you?
Yes, sir. 11 a.m. Central Time over on rockfin.com.
There you go. So I'll see if I can provide the links to that in the show notes and everything, guys, just so you can go ahead and follow through and catch up. And I obviously go to his website and get all the other interesting broadcasts, because I'm sure he's done some more in-depth discussions on some of the things I'd love to cover. But again, I'm not a great money guy. So this brings me to my other point that was also asked in the Skype here. I'm going to combine questions with my Skyper. And tell them that, or excuse me, ask you, You know, why is it that we have this interesting rise as of late? Because the spot price is not rising very much. He's asking about gold. But I got to tell you, with silver, I can't acquire a silver dollar at this point for less than $40. Okay, and I'm thinking that that's about what the going rate is. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But and I do mean even the you know, the cull stuff at this point, you know, you can't get it under $40. Definitely not shipped to you if you don't have a local place to go to. What is happening with the silver market? Because it does seem to be rising. If you don't mind, you'll also address the gold thing, because it seems to me as though at a time like this, these things are going to go up, and you can follow that all when you go to wisewolf.gold, because they have these running things there to show you. And you can check different exchanges, by the way, for people listening in other countries. It doesn't have to be just based on the dollar. You can take a look at the value, I think, in your own country, too, as well, right?
That's absolutely right. You can, so the links on wisewolf.gold, they go to goldprice.org, both the silver and the gold, the links that are there. And that's live, and you can adjust it for currency. But, you know, you're absolutely right, and I can probably get you a better deal on peace dollars than that. Last time I checked, I think my cost on a VG peace dollar was like $30, so should be able to beat that. I'm dealing with the trading floor in Dallas. So the reason that you're seeing that, though, is there's reality, and then there's spot price. Spot price is the bare minimum. That's kind of like your base reality, right? But then there's the real world, and that is, you know, ordering from an exchange, from a wholesaler, and or you know, your local shop. And so the supply chain, I'll give you an example. When I go and place a trade right now on the back office of the trading floor, the ticker for silver, generic rounds, it just says unknown delay. So I can lock in a price. So like right now, my cost is a little under $30. And if I lock in a, this is for generics, I mean, we won't even talk about American Eagles, but generics are a little under $30. It's just unknown delay. Now, they always ship me my product, but they're not going to promise me a date. They're not going to say, hey, Tony, you'll have it in a week, which they used to. It used to just say live, which means when I wire them the funds, then they're going to send me the product. That's across the board for almost everything. I mean, we have a 2-week delay on like just random year Krugerrands, 1-ounce gold rounds. I mean, the gold's a little bit more available than silver. And that should tell you something. I mean, silver is also an industrial metal. It's used in medicine. I mean, but solar, electric cars, I think there's like 2 kilograms of silver in an electric car. They want to build more EVs, as you know, and, of course, more solar. So there's going to be huge demand on silver. And I think what's going to happen, Chuck, is as this progresses, you look at things like what's happening to Russia and our meat puppets in Washington, D.C. think, oh, we're going to hurt Russia. We're going to put these sanctions on them. And then the price of crude goes up. So Russia's going to have a profit windfall. And now they decided they're not going to deal with dollars anymore. So they make people convert their currencies into the ruble, which is now backed by gold. If they start buying gold with that, what's that going to do to the global supply of gold? It's going to make it, you know, they're going to shrink it even more. So people are going to have a problem getting gold in physical form. So I just think people are going to start selling off, you know, jewelry. There's going to be what they call urban gold mining, and the same thing for silver. You'll start seeing, as the prices rise, people will start selling, you know, their sterling silver and their flatware and all that stuff to get to these refiners to make more bullion, because bullion will be in more and more of a demand. It's a niche thing still, but more and more people are coming online, and my warning to people is it's not a plug. Get in touch with somebody that you can trust that you can buy precious metals from, because this is going to be a thing. It's an evolution in this crime known as fiat currency, and this is the end game. There's a thing called Gresham's Law, which means that bad money drives out good money until it doesn't. And so the bad money being the dollar, it drove out, you know, gold and silver from the marketplace for the most part. That's going to come back in a big way as a boomerang, and just want people to be prepared.
No, I appreciate that. And by these generic rounds, you mean they could be printed by anybody or actually made by anybody. I used to see the Sunshine Mint and stuff like that was out there a lot. You know, all these different, they call themselves a mint, Right. In some cases, they are. In some cases, not so much. But, I mean, the generic round, even though, is still way above what that spot price is, even at your price. And who knows? Look, I love the Eagles, but those can't touch them for less than 60 if you're lucky, for the most part. I mean, you might be able to get a current one maybe for $45, $50, but I mean, this is just what I see. But again, it's a difficult thing to navigate, and we're almost out of time, which sucks because I had a lot of other things I wanted to ask you about, but you can always come back again, you know, soon, I hope, because, this is going to be an emergent issue and continuous. And I think, it would be best if people tried to have at least a little bit of this on hand. I have even some of that, you know, unbranded, you know, like grams of silver, you know, just because, you don't necessarily need to spend your silver dollar if it comes down to it. You might be able to get away with something that's not worth as much. And you know what I mean? Grams are not a bad thing to have either.
Absolutely not.
They're so good. Yeah. And you do all that stuff at Wise Wolf, though, right?
Yes, sir. As much as I can. The grams are getting harder to get a hold of, but I like putting people in the pre-1965, people call junk silver. I call it constitutional silver. The dimes, quarters, and half dollars, those are 90%. Anything made in the U.S. before 1965, that's silver.
Right. Right. Even the first year half dollar of the JFK half dollar is still there because they made it in 64 the first time. Although we weren't the first country to put JFK on a coin. You know that, right?
I did not know that.
Ah, okay. So I'll give you a little trivia then. The first nation to place JFK on a coin, his image on a coin, was a place called Sharjah, which is now part of the United Arab Emirates.
Oh.
So, and they did it in 64, but they got theirs out before us. So there you go. They were actually the first ones to mint it and distribute it right away. I actually have one of those, Sharjah. I forget what it is, so many rupees or whatever. It's been a little while since I looked at it, but it's one of those things I'm hanging on to because they made it at, it might be 80% silver. It might be 90. I don't remember that exactly, but if you look it up, you'll find that was the first nation to do so. So there's an interesting point, but those pre-65 JFK dollars, which was only the 1 year, they have that silver concentration in them as well. And no, I've collected all that stuff over the years and unfortunately had to sell some of it at certain times. But it always came in handy when something unexpected came along, which is another good thing is even if the dollar doesn't collapse, it's a good thing to have because it retains its value. So unlike that paper, which eventually decays, destroys itself, and by the way, gets devalued on just about a daily basis by one thing or another. You could tell me I'm crazy about any of the stuff I just said, Tony. It's up to you, but I give you the last couple of minutes if you want to just say whatever you want, and then we'll close out the hour.
I'm certainly filing away that bit of trivia. I did not know that, and I was thinking, I'm like, don't tell me they made it right before 1963, you know, and before November 22nd. Then that kind of adds to what we talk about in the conspiracy of the assassination of JFK. But yeah, I did not know that. I'll file that away. I always love learning things like that. You know, that's the thing about talking to smart guys like you, Chuck. If we can have a conversation on anything, just get the ball rolling. You know, like one of us has to say something that, you know, give us a jumping off point, and we can have a great hour of radio, which I've really enjoyed being with you tonight.
Yeah, I was a little less organized mentally than I wanted to be with you, to be honest. But frankly, I had to keep going at the gold and silver thing. And there's a variety of topics I could have discussed with you. But frankly, I could bring you back for another hour just to do this again. Because
anytime,
like I said, we didn't even touch on all of it. And not just because, you know, you're related to John Jeffries. And I'm going to play a Wise Wolf commercial during my break, which I don't usually do. But since you were on, why not? And I don't do that only because, you know, we don't have an agreement, you and I. You're here as a guest because quite frankly, you're a smart guy. It's got nothing to do with your business. But might as well talk about your business right now because it's part of what you're smart in. So there's full disclosure. I say things bluntly. Please don't be offended, but just how I am. Anyways, so again, wisewolf.gold. That is the place to go. And also, what was it, arterburnnews.com?
Yeah, arterburn.news.
Arterburn.news. I always screw up these things. That's why I bookmark everything. Arterburn.news. And I'll give you guys all that in the show notes, I assure you. And in the next hour, we're going to have an open discussion about some societal issues. But Tony Arterburn, again, thank you, and I hope to have you back real soon.
Anytime, Chuck. Thank you so much.
There you go, guys. The Ocelli Effect will continue after this.
When a fan of the Ocelli Effect calls in to the Ocelli Effect.
I just wanted to call in and tell you and Michael Swanson and JP Sicilian and all of the guests that you have how much I love your show. Always interesting. It's always informative. I just wanted to tell you in person on the phone. I mean, I love you. I love your show. I love everything you do. I will always be there to support you. You know that.
We appreciate you so much. You have okay. No idea.
Thanks. And most of our fans just send hate mail and death threats.
Ocelli.com.
In a time of fake news, fake politicians, and fake fiat currency, it's getting harder to find the genuine article. That's why when it comes to precious metals, I call the team I can trust. This is David Knight from my friends at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange. Proudly veteran-owned and operated, Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange is your home for gold and silver coins, bullion, jewelry, and more. Prices and inventory are updated daily, so you get the most competitive possible pricing. And when it's time to sell your gold and silver items, they pay top dollar. Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange also accepts and deals in Bitcoin. Call or text the owner, Tony Arterburn, today at 888-667-1836. That's 888-667-1836. Or just go to wisewolf.gold. From bullion to Bitcoin, Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange.
Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Do you like history, real history, that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia. By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon. Why? The Vietnam War by author Mike Swanson.
Well, maybe I could take the guns to school and we could squeeze off a few rounds between classes.
You shouldn't take guns to school with you. They're dangerous.
Guns are dangerous?
What? Oh, brother.
We should learn from our relatively recent history, my brother. That's where I'm coming from. I've been on fire
people. And now, the most underrated voice in all media. Chuck Ocelli.
Second hour of the Ocelli Effect continues now at Ocelli.com. Really appreciate Tony Arterburn for taking the time in the first hour. Again, he's not here because he was a sponsor or anything like that. He does sponsor the Donald Jeffrey Show, but that's a separate issue. So just so you know, we had him on because he's a smart guy and had something to add to a conversation that I don't think we have often enough on the shows. Anyhow, this hour, I don't have a guest per se.
Oh, thanks, Chuck.
What I have is my buddy, Nature Boy. Everybody knows you, of course, that really deep, deep, deep voice. Everybody knows Ocelli.com. Everybody knows this guy, and also if you listen to Short Attention Span DJ Theater, you might hear a commercial for a law firm. I'll leave it at that if you haven't heard it. But anyway, look, Nature Boy, it's great to have you with me. I don't need a guest if I got you to talk to. It's all right. And I had an idea to bring somebody in, but again, I've had these little difficulties getting certain people on. Mm-hmm. Next week, we'll definitely have some things going. As a matter of fact, I might not need you to book Wednesday next week if everybody comes to me all at once like they're supposed to. But we'll get there over the weekend.
All right.
Let me know. He does the Wednesday bookings. I know I've said this before, and really appreciate you doing that. Of course, we had an adventure at another network for a week. But there was that, and enough is enough on that. Mm-hmm. So first thing I want to tell everybody is that the website appears to be healthy again. That took some money, and that took some doing, and that took about 40 days of me wanting to strangle someone. Okay. And I might have, well, maybe is it someone or is it many someones? That might not be proper English, but it was properly what I was feeling. There were problems here, and we had a hacking issue, and we had a database issue. And I think I've actually got it all cleared out just as much as my bank account is. So there you go. Had to borrow a little money to get I got a cyber security team now for the next year. Okay, because I need them. We're not going to keep going into that, though. I got something else I want to talk to you about, Nature Boy. And it's funny because I heard a lot of other people, obviously in the mainstream, they're talking about Will Smith smacking Chris Rock. All right. I got a view on that that I haven't heard anywhere else. I'm thinking about discussing that with you.
Okay.
And seeing what your take is, but... I was going to discuss some other important things, like the fact that some people have said that they could not make donations and are not going to make donations to me this month because they're helping out the people of Ukraine. And I can't argue with that if that's what you choose to do with your money. I would caution that people are careful about which organization they're sending money to, because I know what your intent is, but I don't know what the intent is of the people collecting your money is.
Don't send blankets. Don't send water. Just send your cash.
Yeah, well, listen, cash is king. But then again, as we were talking about in the first hour, it's also an illusion. So I don't want to go into all that tonight, but let's get into this thing. Chris Rock got smacked by Will Smith. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that I would be saying this not too long ago. I wouldn't have thought that I would want to discuss this. But then again, I've heard these two very weird sorts of postures about this taken in various media circles. In fact, on Don Jeffrey's show just before mine, I heard a discussion about it where I'm super frustrated. I'm super frustrated by everybody on this. And it's because there is a duality here that needs to be examined. And believe it or not, it leads to a much larger societal question. And it's not how are we teaching our children exactly. It's not that virtue signaling nonsense. It's not, well, gee, you know, could Chris Rock be in a safe space? What about Chris Rock's freedom of speech? What about, come on, come on, come on. They brought the ghetto to the Oscars. Come on, people. Wow. You can't think outside of this?
That's what the narrative is out there. You know me, I'm not one that follows that or goes into those trivial things. I can imagine all the social media and, of course, the mainstream media. I mean, it's a distraction du jour. It makes good entertainment. If it bleeds, it leads. You know, maybe if Chris Rock had a little fat lip, that might have made, you know, a few million dollars more. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's just your normal blah, blah, blah from the talking heads.
No, I wanted you to interrupt because I know that for the majority of people that listen to, say, my show or whatever, it's like, who cares? And quite honestly, I agree with you on a certain level. One millionaire smacked another millionaire in the mouth. And I care why? I don't. Okay? Like, literally, I'm not engaged in it. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. That's just ridiculous. Okay? And I'm listening to people do that in all media circles, again. Not, you know, the alt media, the indie media. They're not escaping the nonsense. Well, they're participating in it. So all media circles, everybody's got an opinion on this. And nobody's saying what it is I'm thinking. And I'm just curious if, you know, maybe I'm just the lone wolf out here with my thoughts on this. But, I mean, tell me, you did see the video, right? And you're aware of the whole situation and stuff, right?
Yeah, I watched the whole video a few times, listened to the acceptance speech from Mr. Smacker, and it was, when you look at it holistically, it brings up some interesting concepts. When I first saw him crack the joke about his wife's hair, Will Smith was sitting there going, kind of laughing, and she kind of did, and then you could see she kind of went cold.
Right.
And then the camera goes back up to Chris Rock like it's a normal thing. And then you hear, uh-oh. And he comes up and smacks him. I was going to use an expletive. But and then, you know, he, of course, said, you know, keep acting like the defender. But when you listen to Will Smith's acceptance speech, he's like, oh, I'm about love and protecting Serena and protecting their image, and I want to be the big protector. And that's the interesting way he phrased words, the man I want to be. And I just found it odd and interesting when I looked at it from a whole standpoint. Let me see if I can kind of regroup my thoughts. The question came to my mind. Was this not necessarily pre-planned, but was this an act on Will Smith's part? I'm not saying Chris Rock was involved with it. But when I looked at it holistically, it's as if, you know, he was so engulfed into this protector character, which to me is a bunch of Hollywood BS, okay? Them Hollywood people, I don't care what they put on camera. When the camera's off, the stage curtain's down, they're completely different people behind the scenes.
Of course.
And, you know, so it came to my mind, was this something that, let's look at it two ways. Let's take it a little esoteric. Was he possessed by this character and that spirit of the character suddenly came out to him after he saw his wife go cold while he was laughing? Mm-hmm. Or was this something that he had kind of pre-planned in his brain and the opportunity presented himself? He walked up, smacked him. No blood, didn't, you know, whatever. And my God, if that was, think about the money that was generated, the publicity, the PR. Everybody's talking about it now.
Of course.
Okay,
of course.
First, you know, a good distraction from the Ukraine situation, which is another mass COINTELPRO, MK Ultra, MK.
Well, see,
whatever
here,
you
here's
want.
The situation with that is right. That. Look, I agree with the sentimentality that they're pushing, but my problem is that it's completely disingenuous. Mm-hmm. You know, and I am not the first guy to jump out with the racial thing, which is funny because in the chat room right away somebody said, "Well, finally somebody's reporting on black and black crime."
Oh,
okay,
that's bullshit.
I get it.
That's BS. This is not about racial. This is about two men.
But it's okay. But back to the Ukraine thing for a second. Okay. Outside of that, right? I see a bit of racism in there in that, you know, our mass media really doesn't care when brown people are going through the same thing.
Yeah.
They don't. Okay, because this kind of disruption, and this is something I've had to keep explaining to Mrs. O repeatedly, who is watching this intently. You know, look, this is not rare. No. This is what happens. The destruction you're seeing, civilians not only being targeted but being killed – collateral damage in some cases, in other cases they are targeted. That's just what happens anytime these actions take place. So you got to understand, in Iraq, and I showed her that, you know, that there was stuff going on in the invasion of Iraq. I said, look at this. You don't even remember this now, do you? And I know you watched this footage. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that it wasn't seized upon by the mainstream media. Now, some people say, well, of course not. It's America. And, you know, why? You can't put down America. But that's not the point. There's a bit of an aspect here. There's plenty of displacements and refugees that have had to move around the continent of Africa over all sorts of military actions that might get a mention on the BBC. Okay, but they don't talk about the actual toll. Occasionally somebody goes in there and maybe does a half hour on it and says, look at this. This is terrible, you know. These children are starving, and they're having to walk hundreds of miles. And, yeah, they'll do that once in a while, or they'll do it for one of those commercials, help, you know, this organization, that. But this 24-7 wall-to-wall coverage, I'm not so sure that they could keep people tuned in if it was one of those situations. Or in the Middle East, many people that are not precisely white, okay, right. Unlike the majority of people that you're seeing suffering in Ukraine. And you know what? They show it for a little bit, and then it goes away. This has been weeks of wall-to-wall coverage. So I don't find it genuine. I don't find it helpful, and I get it, that people want to send their money, and they feel bad, and they have empathy and sympathy, as do I. But let us understand that the media is not doing it because they want to do the right thing. Okay? Bottom line. So back to this thing with Will Smith, and yeah, it does serve as a distraction, a little bit of a tension breaker, because you can only show people gory horror things for so long. They will get tired. You got to give them something else. Now, people have turned this around to be a racial thing, and it's about this and it's about that. I got to say, I see an aspect of it, but I also, again, boil it back down to one millionaire smacked another millionaire in the mouth.
Yeah, one man smacked another man.
And no security reacted.
No.
Which lends itself to the idea, and I am not the guy who says this was staged and this is fake, or I'm leaning toward it wasn't fake. But I could be convinced otherwise, because zero security? Okay, I get it. Nobody wants to challenge Will Smith, but Chris Rock's a famous guy too. And security usually protects famous guys. No security moved that I saw. Nobody. Okay.
Chuck, in this day and age, mm-hmm. we are living in a time of universal deceit. We've talked about it. You know it. You can't dismiss the fact that this could have been completely staged from the get-go.
Oh,
think
sure,
about
sure.
it. Right? I'm not saying it is, because honestly, I don't know. I'm more leaning towards it's not staged, but let's go hypothetical for a second.
Okay, but after that, I want to put that aside, because I okay. really don't want to get into whether it's staged or not. I want to take okay. it as we're gonna just make the stipulation that it's a real situation, because I want to sure. get to breaking this down in a way that nobody else is doing. So but then, go ahead.
No. I break it down. Break it down, and you lead, I'll follow.
Okay, fair enough. Look. Let us stipulate that this is a real situation,
mm-hmm.
okay, that whether Will Smith was inspired by his wife rolling her eyes or legitimately built up and got upset, okay, and decided to do this. I see it as, you know what, America has made a very schizophrenic choice as far as what is culturally acceptable. Not about black culture. No. Let's talk about American culture. There are people out there saying, well, this is assault, and it's very simple, and this should just be dealt with, and that's – and you know what? You're right, according to most modern conventions as they stand. Okay? What about Chris Rock being bullied? Because clearly, Chris Rock just took it and was stunned, because he paused there. You could see a look on his face. I legitimately feel as though Chris Rock was not in on it if this was planned.
No.
Guaranteed.
But he's a pro.
Because that look on his face, he froze for a minute.
Right. He's a pro. So he knew he had to keep his composure on stage.
Well,
so
right. But
for
it took
that.
A minute, because he was literally slapped. So, I mean, you know. Okay.
Think about this. Had he not been a pro, and he took a swing, and they got into a brawl, you know, oh my God, where that story and that narrative could have been taken is I can't even think of where it can be taken, but it can be taken to a lot of places.
Right, but it's all over the place because here's the thing. The people that say, oh, they brought the ghetto to... No, they didn't, because if they brought the ghetto there, then Chris Rock would have pulled out a straight razor and cut Will Smith, and I wouldn't have blamed.
There's nothing ghetto about those two gentlemen. Okay, straight up. The fact, that's what pisses me off, is the shallow thinking of people. Because somebody is of another color, they instantly think ghetto. They don't look at them as two men. And that's what pisses me off, because people judge people on what they are, not who they are. You judge them on who they are, they're very successful men. Far more successful than the average person, regardless of your opinion. So judge them as men. I digress, but this racial card that's on all sides pisses me off and drives me crazy.
You're leading perfectly to where I want to go. It's two men. Let's forget about their millions. Let's forget about the tuxedos, okay?
Two men.
It's two men. Now, I know I'm old enough to remember a time when, quite frankly, as men, we could end up insulting each other and somebody might raise their hand to somebody else. Now, all of that. Your words, who you choose to insult, and who you choose to put your hands on. Yeah, you could do all that. You don't call the cops over it.
Nope.
You handle it. But you know what? You handle it and you understand that there's some consequences to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there were times when I had very good friends. And you know what? They get out of line with something. Maybe they got a punch in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they stood there and went, all right, you know what? I deserve that. And that was the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't live in that society. This is not the current state of affairs on anybody's radar, okay? What if you're on the left? You think this way? No, none of these people think this way. Not really. No matter how they're going to sit in armchair comment about what happened, what they saw happen, or what they think they saw happen, nobody is going to handle it that way. That's not the world that we're in anymore. So, in the world that I would really appreciate going back to, that would have just been a thing and that would have been that. Now, Chris Rock might have also swung back or at least shoved him away. And, you know, it doesn't matter that the cameras are on. You know what? What the hell, man? What are you doing? You hitting me over that? You know I'm up here being a comedian, which is another thing. Mm-hmm. You know I'm doing this job. And he did say, hey, that wasn't even a bad one and all that. You know, G.I. Jane... Think about the offensive nature of it, because she's got alopecia. You know what? You don't want people to make comments about your hair. Don't sit up front at a live television event with a comedian, 20 feet away. Stupid.
Well, I mean,
that's the other thing.
To the defense of her and everything, right? When mm-hmm. someone puts on those productions, they don't select their seating. Okay, that seating is already selected for them. And just because you're sitting up front doesn't necessarily make you a target for an insult for a comedian in a situation like that. This is not going to the comedy club and sitting in the front row. Okay, that's a whole different situation.
Yeah,
so
but
in defense
is,
of her, okay. She looked beautiful, by the way, right? And
yeah.
So I just want to take that out of the conversation of sitting in the front row.
Okay, but here's the thing about that. If you are going to get really angry at somebody making comments about you, you didn't choose to sit in the front row. You know the camera's going to go to you at some point.
Yeah, and that's what they want. They're celebrities. They want the camera on them.
So if you don't want to be seen, don't be seen.
How do you know she didn't want to be seen? She looked exquisite.
But that's the other but that's my point here is that now, you're going to get offended. You were pulled into it. You're telling me that Chris Rock was really out of line there?
Chris Rock cracked a joke, okay?
Not even a good one, right?
It was a quick quip that probably came off his brain. That's what he does. That's what he's brilliant at. And what gets me is when he cracked the joke and the camera went to Will, Will was laughing, okay?
Yeah.
And then the camera went off of him, and he came up as the big protector. Smack! I'm protecting women. And then he got up with his cheesy half, oh, my God, emotional speech of that's the man I want to be, and I apologize to the Academy, and I just want to protect everything. And to me, I'm like, that was pure BS. That was
pure nonsense.
Say what?
Pure nonsense. And the thing is about Will Smith and his whole speech. First of all, the ego involved. I'm going to protect me. Your little work with what, two famous tennis stars and doing a movie about them. This is your big contribution to protecting people?
No, he gave a great performance. Okay, that's what he does, and he does it very well. By the way, he gave a great performance. He's not a protector of squat.
Well, but that's the other thing is, again, I mean, look, Chris Rock made a mild joke at her expense, by the way. But again, if she wasn't in his line of sight like that, which, by the by, you're saying, oh, they don't choose where they're going to sit. Well, you know what they can do is they can request not to be placed somewhere if they don't want to be.
Yeah, but I mean, she had no clue that was coming. I mean, of course, in their world, they want to be where the spotlight is.
But she went out dressed up, so she's in the spotlight. Guess what happens when you're in the spotlight? You know what? They called Steven Seagal fat, too, because he wanted to keep making movies. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
This is what happens. Yeah. You put yourself in front of that camera, you take the risk that somebody might say you're ugly or you're out of shape or whatever. Now, she wasn't out of shape, but if Chris Rock said, you know what, you look like a black Barbie doll after Katrina, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you could have went some other way here.
Oh, that's bad, bro. That's bad. No,
well, how about just a black Barbie doll after the house fire, but only your head got it, right? You know, I'm just saying, there's a lot of ways that could have been much more cutting.
Oh,
he
yes.
brought up a dated movie reference for when, what's her name, shaved her head there.
Demi Moore. I mean, that was 30 years ago when Demi Moore was still hot.
Yeah,
now she's grandma, like, good-looking grandma, don't get me wrong. But she's grandma age, man.
But the majority of people watching TV probably weren't even born when she was the whole. And that was a big thing. Look, Demi Moore shaved her head. Oh, my goodness. She was one of the most beautiful women, and she shaved her head for that movie, G.I. Jane.
She still looked hot with a shaved head, man. It was Demi Moore in her day. Come on.
Hey, look, I'm all for that chick in the first Star Trek movie. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look, the bald head, I'm not saying it's my preference or anything, but you know. It's not gonna take it all away if you got hair on the top of your head. Anyway,
I could make a crass joke, but I'll keep it clean. But yeah, I mean, totally.
Sure, Ken. We could do both here, and we could just say that, you know, there's no problem with you shaving a lot of your body parts if you're a woman, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, fair enough, right?
No.
Anyway, head or otherwise, you know,
we're talking about armpits, right? We're only talking about armpits.
Could be. Could be legs.
What about ankles? You know, a shaved ankle is always sexy.
Long as she doesn't have to shave the bottom of her feet, we're good. Okay. So, either way, though, you put yourself in a position. She could have stayed home. She could have wore a hat. She could have wore a wig. Okay. And I'm saying, well, you're shaming her. No, I'm not shaming her. I'm saying you go out in public. You have now put yourself in the public eye. Guess what? Not everybody's going to love you.
No.
And not everybody's going to be supportive. So he made a joke.
Right.
And it wasn't even a harsh joke. And he's on stage doing what? Being a comedian.
And
he was probably filling time. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then you have to take into consideration, was he aware of her alopecia? You know, was that a thought that, ooh, I'm going to go after Will Smith's wife because of her medical condition? Probably not. Most likely, he looked over, saw her, his mind said, boom, insta joke. He went out, and that's where it should have been left.
See,
now, had it been there, that would have never been known.
Right, but a comedic actor who is thinking, there's the wife of another comedic actor for the most part. Okay,
right.
I know Will Smith's done some other stuff, but honestly, where did he make his fortune? Being a clown.
Right.
So one clown goofs on the wife of another clown. He thinks it's okay. Look, I'm not saying that. And somebody could have turned around and had a little talk with him afterwards. I happen to know intimately about a story when a comedian named Pat Cooper had to be spoken to by some Italian businessmen. But nobody walked up on stage and smacked him.
No.
Okay. So anyway. Back to this, though. Even if that happened, if somebody walked up to him after the show and smacked him upside his head, you know, I would say, all right, maybe men handle things like men. But this was a clearly done for the public's, you know, consumption. And then he evoked things exactly the way you would do on a street level, which, you know, again, Will Smith has not been on a street level situation since what? He was born and raised in West Philadelphia. That was a lot of years ago, folks. So, you know, trying to bring that, oh, that's just his, get the hell out of here. That is just nonsense. Look, either we have to choose one of two things, that, you know what, men occasionally will knock each other around and it's not something that ends the world or brings the police or brings jail time, or you have to say that everybody deserves equal protection and nobody should be assaulted. These are two different things. And we have not reconciled that properly in our society. Both things are actually legitimate. Okay? And the thing is, you could reconcile that you have a piece of both of those things happening at the same time. But nobody's talking like that. Everybody's either, this is outrageous, and, you know, blah, blah. Yeah, but now you're telling me that you want this guy arrested for, first of all, which was not much of a good slap anyway. It was, didn't look good. Either Will Smith doesn't know how to slap somebody, or, you know, he pulled the punch, so to speak. Okay? Number one, but Chris Rock legitimately looks surprised. I do not believe, either that or he is a spectacular actor. Because that to me looked like a guy trying to jumble it, trying to recollect his thoughts after literally getting smacked when he didn't expect it. When right. He saw him walking up and he goes, oh, hey, you know what? He thought that maybe he was going to get his chops busted, I think. And he thought maybe he was going to play with him a little, you know, like do the fake choking thing. You ever see that before where somebody fake chokes somebody?
Yeah, I've seen that before.
You know, goofing around, clowning around. I think he thought that and he got smacked. Okay. And then went, well, we're going to have to move on. He said, greatest night of tell. He tried to roll with it. He wasn't hurt bad. That's part of the calculus. But either way, the fact that people are making this, you know, huge deal out of it
right.
is funny to me because it's not a huge deal. I mean, literally didn't do too much damage to him. One. Two. You know, somebody ought to give some respect to Chris Rock because, I mean, I don't know if out of fear he didn't move, but honestly, I don't know if I would have been able to restrain myself. Somebody just walked up to me and smacked me like that. I would have had to at least have gone back at him. And quite frankly, if it wasn't, you know, in that setting, and it was just somewhere on the street, I might have cut him. I mean, and that would have been a fair move for me.
Right.
And I'm not black. Okay. And that's the other thing is that, you know, oh, they brought the ghetto to the Oscar. Nah, if they did, then what you described before about them rolling around on the floor might have happened and somebody might have got shot.
There's nothing ghetto about it. I've spoke my right. mind on that. And that, so I'm just going to leave it at that. But, you right. know, it's two men. I think that Chris Rock was a professional. Okay, and going under the assumption that, yes, this was real, which yes. I lean towards, being one that's been on stage in his position many, many, many times, okay, I understand working in a professional manner, and he did. He right. took it. He's just like, whoa, what just happened? You could see he's keeping a good face, and in the mind, in the back of his mind, it's just going a million miles an hour, and then he pulled it out. He even apologized. It's a joke. He fumbled a few things and he walked off stage. So in right, that regard,
he collect himself. Right. Look, I've been hit with a beer bottle while playing music. Okay. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you make a calculation. You get pinged in the head pretty good. And I mean, I've had blood drawn over that, you know, all of a sudden I'm bleeding into my eye. What the? All right. The bottle just binged off my head a little while ago. Didn't break though. It did hit my head, but it didn't break. I'm wondering why. Oh, and I'm wet, too. You know, I mean, and then you make a decision. Am I going to keep playing? Am I going to ignore it? Am I going to mention it? You go through all that, and I'm nobody. So I'm sure that it's the same kind of thing that happens. And I've seen other comedians have stuff thrown at them and, you know, stuff like that. But again, I didn't see security even begin to move.
No,
so,
not at all.
You know, and that's the thing. Is this, imagine this. It's not a star that decided to go smack Chris Rock in the mouth.
Oh, just, if it was
a staff person who, you know, went over there and he went, ah, well, that's all right. You know, and he said something nasty because, I don't know, the guy had a red blotch on his face. maybe, you know, whatever. And he picked on him. And imagine a waiter deciding to jump on the stage and try and go at Chris Rock.
Oh, he would have been taken out. He would not even, he probably would have been taken down before he even got close to Chris Rock.
Right. Right. So I'm just saying, there's a whole lot of privilege built into this, mm-hmm. and then there's a whole lot of hyperbolic, well, this should be this way, and blah, 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 blah. And is Will Smith an a-hole? Yeah. Okay. Yes. He is. Is Chris Rock way out of line? I don't think so. But again, you know, there's certain choices to be made here. And there was a time when I promise you, the guy that I call my the best friend I ever had, more than once, we've struck each other. Okay. You know, we got into situations, getting in each other's faces. My very best friend, we never pulled weapons on each other. Well, knives, but not guns. But, I mean, this is a thing that happens, you know, and again, you might get into a fight with your friend and then drink a beer with him the next day. That's a different cultural edge. That's absolutely absent here.
Oh, yeah, years ago, I almost took a baseball bat to one of my best friend's head, and had I found him that night, I would have taken that baseball bat to his head.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of resolved it. We licked wounds and we drank beer, so to say. So yeah, well, things are handled like that.
That's known as toxic masculinity today, you know.
No, good golly, yeah. And everything is this or that. That's why society is so divided and polarized. You know, everything is divided on every micro level. So everybody's an activist and everybody hates everybody. And the only thing that they talk about between them things are the divisive subjects that split them apart instead of the other million things that bring them together. And it's all program. It's systematic. It's just propaganda and living in a time of universal deceit. That's all.
Yeah. And the funny thing is the Academy is going to review his, you know, blah, blah, and decide the consequence. Yeah, what is that?
Hey, if the man that won the award, give the man the award. If he earned it, he should have it.
Well, that's it. You know, but Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, too.
You don't bet against your team in a World Series. That's kind of a different level. But
see, I don't know that he did bet against his team. I'm not convinced about that evidence. He bet on baseball. He bet on his team, but I don't think he bet against them. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe there's stuff I don't know about that case. But either way, the guy still performed to such a level that if you just deal with it that way, he deserves to be in there. Mm-hmm. Even if he's got like some kind of, you know, mark on his name on top of it, he should be blacklisted, but he's in here because of his accomplishments. So, no, I'm not looking they should take away his award. And who cares about that?
But people are talking about that. Everybody is up on their little Twitter storms with their chests out and their virtue signaling. And the thing about that I've found with so many people that do that, right, they're the most least informed people out there. They all have opinions, but very few of them have knowledge. Let's bring it back to Ukraine, what we were talking about earlier. You know,
well, one second before we go there, I just want to something that I did get in the Skype while you were talking, which is that, you know, I'm being told that I'm contradicting myself.
And how is that?
Yeah, because on the one hand, what he's basically saying is, on the one hand, I'm saying that men engaging in a little bit of violence is not a problem, but on the other hand, other people shouldn't be assaulted. These are not contradictory things. See, let's go hypothetical for a second, Dave, okay?
I'm good with that. Let's do it. You know me.
You and I are friends, right?
We are.
And that's not hypothetical. That's real. But let's go into the hypothetical situation.
Okay, let's do it.
You and I had a problem. And let's just say, I don't know, you smacked me in the mouth. Because something I said, I don't know, I offended you directly, whatever. You felt like that was the appropriate reaction. Now, you and I might even get into a little bit of a tussle about that. Because I'm not going to let somebody hit me in the mouth and not hit them back.
Okay? Right.
That's not going to happen.
Do unto others.
But, and I wouldn't expect, and I'll tell you what, if I hit you like that, I would expect to get hit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that is not you and me engaging in violence. That is you and me sorting things out.
Sadly,
which is nobody else's damn business. Okay. <Yeah. laughs> And you know what? I mean, look, I'm not talking about like, you know, one of us like, you know, beat each other to a pulp and, you know, like literally crippled the other one over something. No, 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 no. You know, by all means, go get cops or whatever. Bring back a gun next time. You know, that's the way things go. But I'm saying that would be you and me sorting things out. That's not you and I assaulting each other.
No.
See, that's where that is. It's not a matter of assault is acceptable. Okay, because always we run into the conundrum of, you know, the screaming woman that you really want to smack in the mouth, but you can't. Okay. Who, you know, turns around and says things to trigger you even.
Right, yeah.
You know, I had a first wife. Anyways.
I had a neighbor that my parents told her, she'd get beat up, and she's there. My parents are like, no, she likes it. And I'm, as a young teenager, I'm like, what? Until I witnessed it one night at a dinner party at our house. And I'm like, holy crap, this sick bitch.
Yeah, okay.
This is what her pleasure is well, getting beat because of the whole thing. And it's not, yeah. It's like, I don't agree with violence because I grew up in a violent household. Right. But when you see somebody who intentionally creates it and that's what they want, and once they get it, right, then, oh, they're happy. It's really weird to witness.
Well, they either get happy or they're happy playing the victim afterwards.
Right. That's
it. So there's dynamics there. And that's what I'm trying to introduce here, is that there's another dynamic where if, you know, if a man turns around and has to punch another man, maybe it happens. It's not a crime, is what I'm saying. You don't do this with women, obviously.
No.
You don't do this with smaller, weaker, sickly people.
No.
I am saying, man to man, if this is the way it is, and I'm assuming neither one of them is, you know, particularly handicapped here, okay? Although Chris Rock, I think, has a history of when he was a kid being picked on and all that. That's true. But it doesn't matter.
Well,
it's too much.
He kind of is a dainty little feller.
He's not a big guy either.
No,
Will Smith is a much bigger guy.
Oh, yeah. Will Smith is just like, oh, my God, the reach on his arm. I mean, little Chris Rock would be like, dainty little guy went down. Mm.
Well, size-wise, you're smaller than me,
right.
Okay? If I was to hit you, I would probably not choose to hit you with a closed fist, okay, unless things were serious.
Right.
Because you're smaller than me. I'm not saying you're not tough or anything. It's just a matter of it doesn't make sense, okay? Now, you know, there's other circumstances where if that escalates, it escalates. But what I'm saying is if you and I are sorting things out like that, it's nobody else's business, nobody else's problem. It's
yeah, but between when you do it on a world stage, it's everybody's business. So you have to also look at the situation and
there you go.
The time and the place. If it was them at Chris Rock's house and Will Smith just went up and smacked his ass, okay,
yeah,
that's one thing. That's their business, okay?
Right.
But it became the world's business, sadly, when they did it on a world stage.
See now, and Will Smith could have, ready for this one, you know what we try and teach our kids, could have used his words and done that same walk up to him and got in his face and did the whole, you know.
Or here's something different.
He could have done.
He could have kept his mouth shut when the lights were off.
Yep.
Like a man. Gone to him, man on man, and aired his grievances. If it involved a slap, that's man on man, right? Alone, which is how that should have been handled. The fact that he went up on a world stage and did that does, at least in my opinion, does not reflect on Will Smith. And the interesting thing of language, which ironically, we were doing a lot of things on Jordan, Maxwell Jordan, and how he breaks language down. What he kept referring to, even in his acceptance speech and his apology to Chris Rock, is that's not the man I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it, no, you're talking in hypothetical, but you showed the man you are.
Right. Which, again, even if he said, all right, look, you go to him after the lights are down, which was my next point and why I brought up the Pat Cooper thing. Afterwards, you go to me, you know what?
Yeah.
You offended my wife. You need to make that right. You did it in public. You need to apologize in public. And that's that. I would have respected that move.
Right.
Okay. This, to me, was just, you know what? I'm entitled enough that I can do something like that, because I assure you,
I think
if you or I tried that on a no-name comedian in a comedy club.
Oh, the bouncers would be on us, like, and they'd make sure that we did an extra forehead tap on the cement as we got thrown out the door.
Yeah, at the very least. If they didn't also call the cops after, I don't know, he tripped on his way out, but he needs to be arrested because he assaulted somebody. You'd be treated that way, and it don't matter what color you are or anything else or how famous the comedian is, okay? So, just saying, this is a privileged guy who did something that he had the privilege to do. It doesn't make it right.
Nope.
Now, there are some people out there that are like, oh, no, that's him defending his wife. And I don't get that either, because if you were really defending your wife, okay, you could have done it in a much stronger and better manner than that. And that whole making that display, you keep your wife's, you know, you keep my wife's mouth name out your mouth, which is a real, you know, interesting way to put it, and people do talk that way.
But it comes back to when he cracked the joke, Will Smith was laughing. So how serious was he as a protector when he cracked the joke and the man was laughing?
Well, see, protecting somebody also, though, goes back to that other point, like I said, where, listen, Jada, if you're so upset about people commenting about this, if I was you, I wouldn't go where the lights are going to all be up in the house. You know, where we know we're going to be on camera, where we know there's a comedian on stage. Just risk assessment, okay?
Well, you can always do risk assessment, but you can never analyze all the risk, okay? I'm sure she probably had no idea. By the way, like I said, she looked exquisite. She was beautiful. And okay, they're celebrities, so they want to be where the spotlight is, and the people who are producing the show want them where the spotlight is, because they're the stars. So it's a whole thing about placement.
Yeah, once you do that for a couple of decades, you know what comes along with that.
But the
somebody
fact
who
is,
isn't Chris Rock could have turned around and been haranguing her outside of a restaurant about her hair.
But the fact is, it was a quick joke, and had Will Smith, which I still think that was a little contrived, gone up and done that, nobody would have known that joke even existed in the Twitter sphere, in the history. It would have gone in one ear and out the other, and they would have presented the documentary award. People would have clapped. They would have taken their award, and that would be done with it. But now, boy. Right. Will Smith's name's in the news a lot. Oh, he's all over the place. No publicity is bad, or bad publicity is not, or what do they say? No publicity is bad publicity. Just spell my name right.
I gotcha. And Will Smith is easy to spell, and quite frankly, is not like he would. So I don't get this whole thing, is all I'm saying, outside of the fact that somebody felt privileged, and they showed their privilege. And there you go. They're privileged to behave like other people cannot, because they will be penalized for it. So that's all there is to it. But I think, again, we need to step back and take this, you know, I need to be safe at all times with where I go. Says who?
Who says who? You know, the thing about safety, Benjamin Franklin said, those that give up their liberties for a false sense of security deserve, nor shall have, neither. You know, there's no guarantee on safety. I could walk out I could go in my backyard, walk it along my ivy, and get bit by a rattlesnake. It is a real possibility that I could. Okay? Where's my guarantee against safety against rattlesnakes? It's not.
I lived in a spot not too far from where I'm at now where, you know, occasionally coyotes come by.
Oh, we got I can hear them howling occasionally. I've seen them out on the trail.
They are not people that respect safe spaces, are they?
No, they're not. But, well, generally, if you have a dog, well, Katie, bar the door if it's a little poochy-poochy. But humans, they generally stay away from.
No, generally, but, yeah, no, your dog, your cat, you never know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, like, there is no such thing as a safe space.
No,
exactly.
There's not. I mean,
and but the thing is, this guy very safely, though, approached somebody on a stage, which most people would not be allowed to do from the audience. He got away with, yeah, he did assault him in a very technical sense.
Sure, he smacked him. Smacked him pretty good, too.
Pretty good. Not real good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Okay. I'll give you that, I guess. I mean, I'm not sure. It didn't look. I mean, it rattled Chris Rock. I got the job done, but, you know, I'm not so worried if Will Smith swings at me, if that's the way he swings at people. I'm just saying.
It did not look street, bro. It did not look street.
It did not look street. It did not look Tyson-esque. I'm telling you, it wasn't a very scary swing.
It looked like millionaire swing. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm big and bad. Not with that swing, dude. Really. Come on. You could have done a little bit better.
No, I got you. Anyways, look, we killed a lot of time on this, but I think it's one of those things that needs to be understood is that at one time, you know, people just handled stuff like this. It wasn't an issue. It's not a great societal issue. And now I'm hearing, you know, of course, from one side of the equation where it's like, what are we teaching our children? You know, and by the way, I said one side. That's actually both sides are doing that.
Here's what you teach your children. Don't get bullied. Do not bully. Do not draw first blood. But if somebody comes at you, you're going to have to learn how to defend yourself. And that's just a general rule, violence or not violence, for life. Because if you don't have that ability, then you're not going to fare well in life. Because life's tough.
And you can't hit everybody who says something you don't like.
No.
All right? Regardless of what it is.
You shouldn't hit somebody. I mean, I'm a nonviolent person. I do not believe in violence, okay, personally. But I understand that there is a place and a time for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to define those places because I probably sound like an idiot and I really can't. But, no, there's a time and a place for it. You know, I still think the whole thing about him going up there is so contrived. I don't know how it's contrived, but my spidey sense says Will did not do that to defend his wife or to defend something else. There was something else behind his decisions. And I'll leave it at that.
Fair enough. No, fair enough. And the other thing just to mention here that I didn't say, I don't think I said this yet, but it's really funny to me that Chris Rock winds up really looking like, I mean, I know you're saying he's a professional, and he was. He kept going.
He was.
He didn't run away and cry, okay, which, believe it or not, grown men do.
He finished his set.
He finished it and was like, yeah, let's move on to the nominees.
Right.
He had a bit of a look on his face, though, like he was waiting for somebody else, because, look, that's not a single, that's not a one-man show there, and he is not in charge of it.
No,
so he's looking to the other people to be like, are you going to do something with this or go to commercial or what?
Yeah, exactly. Are we going to commercial? Come on, people. You know, help me out here.
And nobody gave him anything. So he went, okay, greatest night of television. You know, I just tried to roll.
Right.
So I get all that. But at the same time, I do not understand how somebody could take a swing. If somebody took a swing at me for whatever reason, I don't understand not responding at all. If it's another man,
well, you're not a professional entertainer on a world stage, Chuck.
That's so, fair enough.
You know, me, I take a mic stand and brain the guy, but I'm not a professional entertainer on a world stage.
See, that's the thing. He didn't have like ready weapons. He had like a piece of paper in his hand or something.
I'll tell you what. I've been on enough stages. All he has to do is do a quick step to side stage, and there's plenty of mic stands.
Usually, I don't know about that. That stage, though, was, I don't know. I don't know if they had that stuff, like, readily available.
I don't know. But I was just talking smack, but, you know.
I got you. But I'm just saying, look, I understand, you know, random audience member throws something at you or comes at. I mean, I have shoved somebody off a stage. I've hit somebody who's hit me. You know, it happens, especially at the kind of shows I used to do. But
and the venues you used to play. I mean, I'm surprised you didn't have barbed wire and did a Blues Brother thing on some of the places that you told me you played. It's like, oh, good God.
Only one place. And they didn't do barbed wire, but they had chain link fence.
There you go, chain link fence.
And that was to minimize, the large objects couldn't get in.
Right, exactly.
And it was literally like a box. They it had a little roof on it just below the roof.
Yeah, it's a cage, man.
You're in a cage playing. No, I did that, but not at too many venues. Most times, open air. They could get up on that stage just as easily as you could, and some security's better than others. And when you play a place on a Wednesday night, they don't have a full crew on, just saying.
Nope.
But no, what it comes down to, though, is that in that venue, in that situation, I guarantee you there were plenty of security people around. I guarantee you that there were off-duty cops around and everything else. And the fact that nobody moved at all is really weird. That's the weirdest thing.
Well, you also have to think about it. The fact is he walked up on stage, right? It's not unusual for him to walk up on stage. Nobody, considering that we're taking the position that it was real, they didn't know what was going to happen. And by the time and he smacked him and stepped back and turned right. around, any professional security would know, okay, that's the end of it. And he walked back. And in that setting, right, that's the most appropriate thing to do. Mm-hmm. You don't go up there and rush them and then make a situation worse than it initially was. So, but I'll tell you what, if it was a regular person going on stage, right, I know stage management, right, those security would have been all over them.
They would not have made it to Chris Rock.
They would have not even gotten close to Chris right. Rock.
So, and that's the way it should have went, actually, even with Will. Somebody could have just stepped in front of him.
Hey, they didn't know if it was part of the show. Come on. They're security. They don't got the timeline. They don't have the full script. They could think, okay, it's he's walking up to say to do something or whatever, and then next thing you know, he smacks him and turns around and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do, bum rush the guys who's walking back to a seat on world television? No, you let him walk back to a seat. Take care of any issues later on.
Well, but either way, I would have definitely positioned somebody in between them when he's sitting there yelling back at his seat, which is, again, only a few steps away again.
I would have cut the camera. I would have cut the feed or cut the sound, kept it away from him had they not have done that. Right.
Ultimately, I was getting there, is that was the best option, is to cut it down, because I think the second that stopped and stopped being broadcasted, guess what? He's got no reason to yell at him anymore.
Right.
Because I think he was doing it as a show. I do mm-hmm. believe that Will Smith, in his mind, had to make a show of it.
Yes, it was contrived. That's what I kept saying. It's contrived in some manner. That's what my observation was. So, but we're getting down to 9.87 seconds. So,
gotcha.
It was. Thanks for letting me come on the show, Chuck. I really appreciate it. I always enjoy talking with you, my friend.
No, listen. We started a minute or two late, so we've actually got time.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I find it interesting that somebody said they read that they asked Will Smith to leave and he refused. Got to tell you, $1 million celebrity or whatever. I've seen security move those guys around. Okay. When they're in a venue and they're defending one from the other, I've seen them do it. You know, not every rock star can get backstage at every other rock star show even. Okay. So
Will Smith can. Has
responsibilities, and who's paying them? That's who you're worried about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So anyway, no, I appreciate you taking the time, and I know this was a weird sort of point of discussion, but I figured address it because everybody in the damn world's talking about it.
Why not? It's fun. It's a good distraction, you know?
It's a good distraction after having to think about the dollar collapsing and how poor it is we all are, and God help us, get some gold and silver in your pockets because you're going to need it.
Yes.
You know, let's talk about something stupid for a minute.
Why I'm going to be talking to Mr. Tony here in the very near future is I need to put a few coins, and I ain't got a lot of money, but I at least want to have a few coins sitting in my pocket. So if everything goes crazy, I can at least barter with somebody to, like, let me buy your chicken and a dozen eggs.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing is, I only have that Shar Jar dollar I was talking about, or however many rupees, 5 rupees or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I only have like that and a couple of incremental pieces of silver. I don't have I used to have some dollars and I don't have them anymore. Had to sell them off. But I constantly want to acquire this stuff the moment I have anything resembling extra cash. So, you know, see what he can do for us on a price. Maybe we can work out a deal. I'll do some ads for him and, you know, something. I just said that in public. I shouldn't have. All right. Anyway, we'll leave it at that.
Good fun. But
Tony Arterburn in the first hour, Nature Boy in the second. And, yeah, we did just discuss the whole Will Smith smacking Chris Rock for 1 hour. So you never know what you're going to get on the Ocelli Effect. Fair enough. I think so. Nature Boy, final thought, 10 seconds.
support the Ocelli Effect, support independent media, become a member. I am. Do what you can when you can. Time, talent, or treasure, it all matters, people. It all matters.
It does. And thankfully, it seems like the website is healthy again. That costs some time, talent, and treasure. But so currently I'm broke. So if you do anything, you're actually contributing to the continued existence of the host here and the guy who is the one-man gaggle of monkeys working at Ocelli.com most of the time. So there you have it. But again, thanks to my Wednesday night producer, Nature Boy, and thanks to all of you for listening, because after all, I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are the effect.
Revelation through conversation.